Welcome to the Live Limitless podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Gigi Meyer, and we're going to be having a lot of conversations with experts in fitness, nutrition, lifestyle, in general health, but also in things like relationships, family, faith, business, sports, you name it. And we really just want this to be a space where you can learn how to break through all the things holding you back from living to your true potential one by one. It's time to live limitless. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Live Limitless podcast, everyone. I'm Gigi, your host, and I have a special guest with me here today, Nathan Meyer. Nathan Xavier Meyer, my brother. Welcome. Hey, I'm so happy you're here.
I'm finally excited to be on one of your guys' podcasts. This is awesome. It's been a long time coming.
I know. I feel like we've been talking about it for months. But back up. What's your nickname for me?
Either Geese or Gigi or Geezer. Or something that has something to do with that. Definitely not Gigi.
Where did you Gisella? Come up?
Because of, remember that priest, when you got confirmed, he called you Gisella instead of Gisela. I have never forgotten that.
Yes.
And that's the reason why
that's how everyone
call
says
you by
it.
Your name.
I know. But remember when you were a kid and you used to have like a little lisp when you talked?
Yes, it's terrible.
Yeah, and
it used to tick mom and dad off.
I know. Good thing you grew out of it. I had a lisp too. Remember, they used to make fun of me because I would say like,
it was snake. Remember?
Yeah, snake. But your lisp.
Dad always makes that joke.
Your lisp was because you had a binky still, and you would hold.
I'd talk out the side of my mouth.
Yeah.
Like lunch. Yeah. And so you guys would always make me do that, and then it would like actually hurt my feelings. It'd be like. Lunch, and I would try to do it right, but it would never be correct.
I'm glad you worked that out because
me too.
So cute. It was like
the reason why I'm here today is because of I fixed my 6-year-old lisp.
Oh man, college graduate. How does it feel when you graduated a little early, right?
I did. I graduated in December. I was supposed to graduate this May, but I got to graduate a semester early. Got to get out quick.
I know. Are you glad? Was it the right move?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought about kind of having one last semester to hang out, like not really play a sport, just to actually have a normal college student semester. But at the end of the day, like I just need to get out of it. I need to get my life started. I'm 23. So.
Wow. You're 23. You
literally still 23.
So wild. And I'm sure a lot of people can like resonate with this, but. You in my eyes are still like a 12-year-old and maybe even
absolutely. A so think about in mom's eyes. Like I'm probably still waking her up at night with nightmares.
I know you're her baby. We'll talk about that here in a bit too. But so now you graduated college and now you're a GA over at Cincinnati for the football team. That's legit.
Yes.
You guys. Oh, you went to the playoffs as a player.
I did. My two. I love my experiences that I had with athletics, with college athletics. I mean, I played 2 years of baseball, right? Mm-hmm. And I played 2 years of football. So my freshman year in baseball, we made it to the conference tournament. We advanced quickly. Usually in years past, we would get knocked out in like the second game or something in the conference tournament. It was down in Clearwater, Florida. So it was beautiful, right? Uh-huh. And it wasn't far from home either, like Sarasota. Mm-hmm. But we get down there and like we advance quickly, like we're hot at the end of the season, so we're rolling. And then we win the conference tournament. It's first time done in 40 years or something. Like crazy. And then we broke a bunch of records. We beat UConn in the championship 22-5, something dumb. Like it was crazy. And we beat Oregon State in the regional semifinals. Mm-hmm. In regionals, and they were the defending national champs. And they had a first round draft pick as a catcher on that team. So that year was crazy, right? And then COVID happened my second year. So we got cut short, but it was still a good time. I was starting to play more. I was starting to actually play a lot better than I ever have been. So that was really fun, but you know.
Like you peaked in college as a baseball player?
I always thought that I peaked my junior year of high school. And I would say that up until that year, that sophomore year, I do feel like that with COVID being cut, it kind of set you know, held back that kind of like peak performance, but it's fine. Like I have no regrets with like baseball or anything. But we could talk about it in a second.
Yeah.
So after COVID, right? So we're in quarantine. That's when I made my decision to switch over to football. Mm-hmm. So first year football, we make it to the Peach Bowl. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome. We played Georgia, lost on a heartbreaker, but we still, I mean, some crazy New Year's Six Bowl game that Cincinnati hasn't been a part of in a while. And then this past year, we made it to the football playoffs, the college football playoffs. It was insane.
That's awesome.
It was crazy.
That is so
cool to see. Like, that's the spot where Dad won the Natty, obviously, against Oregon.
Oh.
We played in that same stadium, but now instead of, you know, all these Buckeye fans, it's all Bearcat fans.
Oh,
but and it's all Bama fans.
Great.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Where was it? It wasn't new.
It was in Dallas.
Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah, Dallas.
That's crazy.
It was crazy.
That's awesome. I know you guys didn't pull off the W, but for you to show up in the Natty, like every other time we've been to the Natty, it's been because of like Dad.
It's but because
that,
of Dad.
I know, but that was because that was like you and your own thing. That's
yeah. Like I was a freshman in high school for the Natty, and that I had the opportunity to be on the sidelines. I got to walk around. I got to watch warmups, and I remember I fell in love with that arena. Mm-hmm. Like that stadium was unbelievable with that jumbo scoreboard and
oh my gosh,
like these. You turn around a corner. I remember you drive through neighborhoods to get to the stadium and it just appears out of nowhere. It's just a gigantic structure.
Massive.
So I remember walking around that and like just thinking how unbelievable it was. And then fast forward and now I'm literally on a team that's there because of the team, not because of Dad.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
We were in Jacksonville watching and your face kept coming on the screen. You would like pause it and like yell and be like, "There's Nate."
I remember you guys would send me pictures of like, and that's when I had some terrible time keeping up with my shaving routine. So I would have this like weird
scruff.
Dumb mustache and you'd be like, "Oh, hey, that looks great."
I thought it looked fine.
I would need to get my hair cut.
Yeah, your hair was a little long. No, so you're coaching now. You had a really awesome college career, really awesome. Yes. And now you're entering the coaching world. Dun, dun, dun.
Making my entry.
You're making your entry.
Unbelievable.
So my only question is, I don't know if it's too soon to know, but what do you like better, coaching or playing?
Well, so we're in spring ball right now. We just had our fifth practice this morning. Already I'm liking the other side, as opposed to being a part of practice, because obviously practice is very physically and mentally demanding. Whereas in coaching, it's only mentally demanding, but not as much. Cause I mean, what am I doing? They're hitting each other with full gear and I'm sitting there like, "Hey, you need to hit harder."
Harder. Yeah. Okay.
But
that's
so
good
far. I mean, like, it's just a crazy different perspective, you know? So like, instead of, you know, waking up, I got to worry about this homework. I have to worry about this assignment. Oh, I have to be at the facility by this time for weights. And then I got to, instead of all that stuff, now it's literally like, hey, I need to help script for this practice, or we need to get this meeting, this presentation set up. We need to, you know, break down practice from like this many, just a whole bunch of different focuses
that you enjoy.
Yeah, it's all the behind the scenes stuff, which as a player, you don't see it very much. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the coaching, I mean, I'm staring at a computer screen mm-hmm. all day, but yeah. it's awesome.
Let's, we'll talk more about just where you're at now, which I'm excited about. But let's back it up a little bit and talk about like your upbringing a little bit. Like, you were one of the cutest kids ever, literally.
Then what happened?
What happened to you? No, tell me, like, what do you remember as a kid? Like, what were you like growing up? Obviously, I know, but for the people listening.
Yeah. Growing up as a kid, like, what I remember is, like, obviously, I remember most of Florida, right? We lived there for 7 years we got there when I was in kindergarten. We left when I was in sixth grade.
You're a Hoosier.
Right.
here. And then we moved to, where did we move to? Utah. And then we moved out to Florida.
And yep, that's born in South Bend, then Utah for 2 years. Mm-hmm. We're messing this up. We moved to Bowling Green, then Utah.
Oh my gosh. Who knows? Whatever. But you remember the first
it's in the past.
I know. The first memory you have, you said, like, you remember most of Florida.
Most of Florida. I mean, what I remembered before that was maybe when we visited Florida and I got a bunch of cool Florida Gators gear and I was like, oh, this blue, like, this is cool. Orange and blue.
I remember that.
I get a nice ball cap. That's awesome.
I was excited to move to Florida.
Yeah, I was too. Mm-hmm. But I mean, before that, I was probably like learning how to ski. So yeah. Do I remember how to ski? No, it would be probably really bad if we were to go on the slopes right now. But in Florida, like I had this really, really awesome friend group that we got, you know, extremely close over the years, obviously through elementary school. I remember a whole lot of that. We even called ourselves the Super Six.
Super Six?
Like all the moms, like one of our things that we would love to do is we would love to go get Moe's.
Yes.
We would love to go to that strip, right? Where it had Moe's and then like a 300 foot walk to the movie theater.
Yes. So
we would go to Moe's. We would sit there. Yeah. It was like the Ames, like something like that.
Park or something.
I have no Park. Idea what kind of park it was.
Royal Park.
That might be it.
I know.
But yeah, it would be every Friday or something after school. We would go do that, watch a movie. We would smuggle in our candy.
A candy.
You know, like not the Moe's. We'd eat the Moe's, but we'd smuggle in like the boxes of candy. Mm-hmm. And then, we would go watch a movie and then go to someone's house and hang out, go swim in the pool.
And obviously you played sports and stuff like that. What do you think was like your favorite memory at that age? Like when you're a kid?
We had like a bunch of fun trips that we would go on. I mean, one of the favorite most, I'm talking about my friends too. Like when I'm talking about, I don't know, probably just the experiences that we got to do. Like, so me and my friends, we got to go on these cool trips to, you know, the springs that were in Florida. We got to go to, I think we went to an amusement park. Like we went to Busch Gardens and stuff, obviously like Universal and everything. But I think something that is also some crazy experiences I remember, just like what we got to do for bowl trips or what we got to do for away games or like some of these cool trips that we got to go on. And that usually is what kind of stands out to me. Like,
that's a good point, because I, something I was always jealous of you was your, like the relationships, like your access to the team. Like you had way more access even, like you got to hang out with players way more than me. And like, obviously I was a tomboy growing up. So when we were a young age, I was like so jealous of you, because you were like attached to dad's hip on bowl trips and like going to practice with him. And you were the one right. Allowed to go in the locker room, but I couldn't, because there was like,
wanted to go see them shower.
Changing. So that was,
I was so lucky to see that.
Yeah. And I don't think they let like little kids be in, like, remember the player hospitality suites where there were like games all the time? Like you were there 24/7. And I enjoyed that more than
going into the practices. I mean, saying that right now, that like shocks me. I'm like, you idiot. Like, why didn't, when I was 7 years old, why didn't I go focus on what their inside zone looked like or something? But obviously, yeah, obviously I enjoyed going to look at the stadiums, the bus rides, the police escorts, and then like all the fans everywhere, not really paying attention to, you know, how this would possibly help me in the future. But who cares?
Actually, I did think of a great memory I think we should talk about, was when, and this is when you're a little bit older, obviously, because this was in 2016, was when they went to double overtime with the team up north, remember?
Oh, and we won in
double overtime and dad collapsed to the ground.
Literally fell to the ground.
Picked up, and then you came and you guys just embraced each other. Remember, was that the game where you guys just hugged for like 30 seconds?
So
tell us about
that. Little correction.
Okay.
The first time that we beat team up north is when we embrace each other for a good 30 seconds to where like, that's when I kind of felt a little bit of his weight on me. I was like, what are you doing? Like, just stand up straight, bro. But what's that?
The first time he beat Team Up North was when he
first time. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was at their place. Like that's when we had that. There's that cool picture. I have it on my phone. It's like one of my first ever pictures on this phone, but it's like where we're actually just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely is. But with the double OT a few years later, yeah, that was when dad, like, you know, Curtis Samuel has that, like that jet sweep and then he like takes it across. And that's when dad like collapses to the ground. I couldn't find him. I didn't even know at this point that he was on the ground. I was either somewhere running on the field cheering or somewhere like being ran over by someone. Like it was just an absolute chaotic moment at that, like at that point. So I know that he would be somewhere near the locker room. Like when all, cause after that happened, the whole place just like flooded. Right.
Yeah.
So you have to literally shove people out of the way. Like there's no, I'm kind of a generous person. I'm like, hey, I don't want to like make this guy ruin his day, but you're literally like hammering people on the way over to try to make an exit because they're not leaving. They're leaving when they're like about to pass out.
Right.
And I knew that, like, I saw a bunch of little, you know, those police staff, like
cameras,
cameras. Like I kind of just knew that he would be somewhere over there. So again, you're like, you're shoving people, you're going by. And then I remember I accidentally shoved a police officer. Cause like, there's a guy right here and I went like this and it's a police officer. He's like, oh, sorry. That's my dad right there. He's like, oh, okay. And then he like shoves me up into dad. And I run into dad and dad thinks I'm a fan. He's like, hey, hey. But I was like, dad, it's me. It's me. And he was like, oh God. Okay. It was crazy. And there was a Twitter, there was a video on Twitter at some point where like, I actually did that and I got to like make it up to him. And like, he's, you see his face go like this and like get so happy. It's really, really cool. I got to find it and show you at some point, but like, I made sure to bookmark it because it was one of the coolest videos I've ever seen. And then that's when, you know, we're hugging. And we listened to the Neil Diamond.
Oh yeah.
Living on a Prayer.
Yeah.
And he like he was, it was, I think it was that song.
Or Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. He fell in love like listening to all the fans sing that song. So we listened to that and then we start to walk up. And then that's when his whole body weight was on me. Like he couldn't stand up straight. And like, that's where I'm holding him like this, walking him up. There's police officers helping too. And like, we're in the tunnel trying to make our way through. That like is, that's when you kind of know how much that literally has affected. Cause he probably hasn't eaten that whole week. Mm-hmm. Right. And he probably, let alone sleep.
Yeah.
But and that's literally like kind of hit me.
The amount of joy though, like he was feeling.
Oh my gosh. The relief. It's the relief and like just that decompression right there. He's like, oh,
did it. Yeah.
And like he's like, okay, you're gonna have to hold me like as we walk over. So. But that's where he like kind of shocked me because 2016, I was probably a sophomore in high school. I understand, but I don't. And that's when it kind of gives me another level into that perspective.
Right. Wow. Yeah. I mean, that back to when you said dad like lit up when he saw you walk up, like that's him. That is such a perfect depiction.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
It is for him where he's like Mr. Serious, you know, like he's gotten better over the years, but he's like Mr. Serious. But then the moment like he sees one of us walk up, like he just lights up and
absolutely.
He like is home. And that's something that I love about dad so much. And I think that has reflected into you and who you've become is like, family is everything. Family,
everything.
Everything. And we joke about, I mean, me and Nikki and mom all the time literally joke about how perfect you are. I mean, there's only one person who lived, you know, and walked earth, and that was Jesus. One person that's perfect that walked earth, and that's Jesus. But you're like really close to him.
Jeez.
You know, we talk about that. And I think that is because like, his just what I was saying, that his, the way he sees family and how it's everything has been passed on down to you. And one thing that you do really,
I would say all of us, he made sure to instill that into all of us for sure.
Exactly.
I mean, the one thing that he liked, that he enjoyed more than winning, was having us there with him.
I know.
He made sure that too. Remember, we would sit in the press conferences with them, or he would always have to have someone with him during the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to make that point. So yeah.
You would sit on his lap when you were young. Like, you were in all the-
I hated it too.
I
hated it because I felt like for some reason, someone was going to ask me a question. It's like, yeah, Nate, you're 7 years old, but what did you think about this play right here? Oh yeah, so
it was freaking awesome.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, you did this really well.
Could have been better though. Could have been.
Always areas to improve.
Remember when I got you that hat in Florida, where it was a blue Florida hat, but then I got your name embroidered on the back and big.
I was literally thinking about that the other day. For some reason, I was thinking about that.
You wore that every single day for like 2 years.
That was my favorite accessory for the longest time ever. And remember, I lost it.
I know.
It was the worst day of my life. I lost that hat in the ocean because I didn't like, so we were at some beach and one of my buddy's moms was like, hey, you should probably wear your hat because my nose is already fried.
Oh.
That's one thing about me is wherever we go, my nose is going to get sunburned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she said, you make sure to wear your hat while you're in the ocean. So I did. And then a huge wave hit me and then it was just gone. Think of like this little kid.
I can't imagine the amount of a hurt, like that feeling of loss.
I cried.
Yeah. Like,
it was awful.
Guys, like what I'm saying, Nate wore that hat every single day for 2 years straight. It was every single day. It made me so happy because I was like, wow, I got that for him. It was like my favorite thing ever.
It was my favorite thing. I don't know why, but I think I just, like, obviously because it was from you, but then like I just for some reason loved that my name was on the back of that. It just said Nate.
And you weren't backwards. So it was like Nate.
So
right
it on. Showed, hey, everyone, this is me.
I'm Nate. Here's Nate, you know. Let's go into a moment that I think is pretty cool for just everyone here. I talked about mine a little bit in the past where dad like chewed me out because I was watching SpongeBob one day and lazy. And
was it a good episode?
You know what? I can't remember what episode it was. So it couldn't have been a good episode. I mean, I was probably like crapping myself. So I just like blacked out, but was it a good
episode? A repressed memory now. Completely wiped out.
By the way, me and Nate have SpongeBob references on the daily. Like, it's like our favorite
SpongeBob show. In Office. I mean, yes, it's we'll spit it off right there and then we'll just start dying for 3 minutes and then we'll just continue on with our day.
Continue on, and then about 10 minutes later and another reference,
figure out some other reference.
All right, for a moment. So I got chewed out by dad and that was a turning point in my life, and never was I ever gonna be talked at that way. Like, I was never seen as lazy ever again. And now to this I push too hard to an extent. Like, dad like makes me take breaks now. But for you, I know there was a story that we've talked about a long time where, and I'll let you tell it, but I think I don't know exactly what happened, but one day you didn't hustle or something. It's scary. I can't imagine what he was like when he.
You're telling me, especially like I'm terrified of him now. Think about like 15 years ago.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was, we were in Florida.
15 years ago?
I think I was like, again, like 7 or 8 years old, like something.
Okay. Young.
Something like that. Yeah, really young. Mm-hmm. And we were, it was in my early years of kid pitch baseball. And I feel like with 90% of other kids, I get scared of the ball hitting me. Right. So my batting average is terrible. I never got on base. I hated it. I wanted to quit like every single day. And, you know, dad, and he just keeps like, hey, just keep going. Like, just go here, let's work on it right now. Like, we'll go on the backyard. Let's just do this. But it was awful. And that just kind of led to me having a horrible attitude, as any 8 year old would have. So one game, I was doing terrible, obviously. And I didn't know that mom and dad would be there. So even worse, like no one's there to watch me. So I can just, you know, I can throw my glove over there. I can like throw my water bottle over there. My Capri Sun over there. I was the last out. I put my stuff away and I grab my glove or my hat and I start to walk onto the field. And I think I was playing shortstop. And we're in the third base dugout. So it's not that far of a walk, but it's obviously you're going to see some kid like this walking out of the dugout. And I just hear, hey, and I like turn around and it's mom and dad right there. And I just hear mom like screaming something like, you need to run. And then like, mom, I couldn't hear her. Your mom was yelling too.
Wow.
And like, I couldn't really hear her because I saw dad's face. Think about like a ref that just called a PI on someone. And it was definitely not a P, like think of his face and just absolutely red and and obvious smoke coming out of his ears. And he's like, you need to get your ass back over there. Like you need to run over there. So of course I just sprint as fast as I've ever could out the short. And then fast forward, game is over. And we get in the car. He doesn't say a word. He throws my stuff in the trunk. It doesn't say a word. Like we go there. It's a good 10-minute drive. We get there and he just says, run. Go around the house until I say stop. So I have all my baseball gear on still. And I just start running around the house and going. There was about 20 times, I think, around that house. And I'm not sprinting, but so it takes like a good hour probably. And I'm sobbing, absolutely sobbing. And then like dad like sits me down. And he's just like, you know, giving me the whole spiel of like, that's not how you represent yourself. Like you need to run. Like that's how you hustle. You need to do this. And from then on, you can better believe that I was going to be the first one to be like the hardest one to be sprinting out there the entire time. And he loves to brag because I played right in college a few times. And from the third base dugout, that's the farthest run that you can ever have. And I made sure to outrun at least the center fielder and the two second base and first base, because they would always, you know, take their usual jog and I would be in a full on dead sprint about to fall the entire time. And that's only because of him doing that.
Wow. So, I mean, looking back at it, it's like, I was 7, I was 8, you know, but like at the same time, are you like thankful?
Absolutely. I'm thankful because now like I take pride in that, knowing that I was gonna be the hardest one to be sprinting out there, because I mean coaches and everyone, they love seeing that, and it's only gonna bring up the energy around those around you. If you're jogging and if your head is down and you're saying like F this, F, like this is stupid, then it's only like no one wants to be around you. Everyone wants to be around someone that's like dead on sprint, like positive, just like who cares, they struck out. I mean I care, but at the same time like I'll get it next time, like it just,
yeah,
as long as you're doing stuff like that. I mean I took pride in that.
That's who you became to be. Like that's what people said about you, like wow, Nate has the best attitude, Nate is always hustling, like Nate is such a good sport. And I just remember like that's who you became, and it was like that one moment that kind of changed the trajectory of like how you were going to represent yourself in sport.
Yeah. Well, the one like repetitive message that I have constantly have received from especially baseball is like, you can only control what you can control. And that's, you know, you get that any self-help book, that's what you're going to read in it. So like, that's just going to translate into anything that I'm going to do. And it's so annoying at first to just like, all right, I struck out, I'm pissed. I need to sprint out. Right. Like I hated doing it at first, but then it just became, you know, a thing and it became a routine. And then it over time just like subconsciously made my mood better. Like I just sprinted past the center fielder. I just sprinted past these guys. Like these guys are pissed off. Like I'm fine. I'm gonna be fine.
Yeah. Control you
can. Like subconsciously that's like that's what's happening. Then mm-hmm. it was cool to kind of observe that. I never really thought about it until, you know, till it was over, but it was kind of cool to think about and realize that.
Mm-hmm. For For sure. That's awesome. And it's, I'm sure, as you know, being in sports for this long, and now that you're going to be a coach, like how rare someone that strong is, like, to be ultra aware of like how their energy is and how it impacts those around them. Like that's
I feel like that's all that's necessary. That's all that what is needed. Mm-hmm. And especially in coaching, is you need people like that.
100%.
If you're not that, then you're not going to make it very far.
Yeah,
I guess in anything, not in coaching, like in anything,
right?
100%. Even with just relationships or friendships, like people aren't going to want to be around you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If you like that,
it's powerful. So as I think this would be a good time to lead into kind of like just an interesting just topic I think most people are just curious about, and it's honestly something you and I have like never really talked about, but as I've started this podcast and I've shared my story a little bit more, and I've got a little bit more comfortable talking about like life as an Urban Meyer's kid, you know, like everyone so curious, like what is that like? I don't know about you, but I got asked growing up, like what's it like to be Urban Meyer's daughter, you know?
Tell me about it. I got asked that. I keep getting asked that all the time. It's just constant. And you know what? I never really know the exact answer that will. I don't know, because I'll say to them, obviously they're all like super mad whenever I say, I mean, he's my dad. I don't know.
It's like me asking you, like, what's it like to be the kid of your dad? You know, like
how? Yeah, exactly. How's your father?
Tell me about your dad. No, 100%. But you obviously being, which is funny, because I think you saved me when you were born. You saved me because I was dad's son until you were born. I was the baseball player. I was the boy of the family. And then
you even had the crew cut and everything.
I had the crew. I had the, yeah, I had the bob. I had the basketball shorts. And then 5 years later, Nate is born and my dad has a son. And I'm like, woo. The pressure
off
is off
the hook.
I'm off the hook. But it's been incredible. Like you said, you're 23 years old now, and I've always had such like a massive amount of respect for you, because I only got a glimpse of like what that type of pressure is, you know. Obviously Nikki and I, we played college volleyball, but dad was always softer with us, cause he, you know, I don't know, just because we're girls.
Yeah.
But you being, and just being
he's a girl dad.
The girl dad, yeah, just in general dad. You know, there's all obviously a different type of pressure that no one else even understands other than like me, you, and Nikki, but you in particular, because you're the only son of Urban.
Yeah, right.
And so like I said, I just massive respect for you and how you've handled it really well. And I just know how hard dad pushes you. I know how hard, and now that you're entering the football coaching game, right? It's like game time. You're like,
uh-oh.
yeah. Like I said, your maturity level composure is unmatched. Like I've never seen it before the way that you, the way it, like it's just shown through you. And, but I just want to talk about a little bit more about like how do you handle that pressure so well? Or does it like literally just not bother you at all?
So growing up, like when I was a lot younger, I actually was very content with being that kind of, having that kind of attention, you know, because I was also always the new kid.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it would be kind of split. Like, hey, you're the new kid. Like you're going to get a little bit more attention. Hey, you're also Urban Meyer's son, so like you're gonna have all these kids that are like gonna be asking questions, like, and I feel like any little kid would kind of love that. You have all these cool friends, and like who knows like if they were actually friends or not, but never mind the point.
Story. Yeah,
that's another story. But I actually kind of appreciated and was pretty happy with all that attention growing up. Until something kind of changed. I don't know if it was in middle school, like going through whatever, and high school and stuff, I really started to absolutely hate being the center of attention. It went from like one end of the spectrum to another. And I never really wanted to talk about it. I still today, there's coworkers that had no idea that I was Urban Meyer's son until like someone had to mention it. And then they were like, oh, like, he's always like that. He never, and I told them, I'm like, that's how it should be. You should have no idea who I am. Like, I'm just Nate. That's great. And I think that's kind of a thing, you know, like, I want people to kind of know me for me, for Nate, not for, you know, what my last name is or where I came from and stuff like that. So in terms of the pressure, I push it away as much as I can. It didn't have that much effect on me growing up. I think, like, kind of what takes the place of that, I'm talking about like playing like in sports right now, because I've only been a, you know, a coach for a few months. So that hasn't really affected me yet. But in terms of, you know, athletics, I think most of the pressure actually came from Dad himself and just kind of like from, in a way, representing the family, but also, you know, representing myself in front of him and what kind of, I put, so obviously he pushed me very hard. He pushes all very hard, but maybe after going through, you know, like running around the house or doing, you know, going through like some of the stuff, after seeing him, see me not hustle, see me not work hard, seeing like how much it disappointed him, that made me put so much pressure on myself to, I have to do well because I don't want to disappoint him. I have to be the best worker because I don't want to disappoint him. So I feel like that kind of took the place, instead of having knowing, like, you know, there's going to be more sets of eyes on me because of what my last name is. Wow. And I know that you talked about a lot, like, with having those eyes on you is what made you put pressure on yourself, because, hey, I'm Urban Meyer's daughter. I need to perform well because I know that these people are watching. Mm-hmm. That still is true for me. But what took the place of that is Dad, wow. I would say.
Wow.
It kind of covered it up, you know? It was also almost like the perfect storm because, like, I went through the worst slump ever my senior year of high school, and it was because of that.
Wow. And yeah, I mean, Dad, we all know, like, everyone who knows Dad knows that he's very tough. Like, he is someone that pulls greatness out of people better than anybody else I've ever
with seen. Force.
With force. Like,
with lots of force.
and but I mean, can you hate him for it? You know what I mean? Like, they're
absolutely not.
Is,
I guess there's kind of ways to go about that. You know, maybe when I was younger, it kind of younger, like in high school and stuff, maybe I took it to a level where it shouldn't have been taken. Because he's doing it to motivate you, obviously. You want to do this. You want to perform well because it's you. You're representing yourself. Mm-hmm. But then, like, I don't know. I think I took it in a way, like, I need to do well, not because it's going to help develop me, not because it's going to help represent my family. It's because it's purely for him.
Right.
Like, is he going to be happy with how I played today? I guess that kind of is a bad level to take it in, but.
That's
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, 100%. And here's the thing, and I don't know if he'll listen. I'm sure he'll listen to this podcast, but I'm sure if he listened to that and he's like, I want you to perform for you. I'm just,
of course,
I want you to be the best that you can absolutely be. Because I've had, you know, tough conversations with him like that about personal things like marriage, finances, and all those things. And he coaches in the same way, you know,
like, I can see that finances,
and, you know, we just bought a house, like starting a family of our own potentially one day, like he coaches.
You need to budget,
save your money. No. But I remember he just, the way he like said it made it click for me. You know, sometimes you're like, okay, I get it. Like, I know all this. But then he said, he was like, I want you to be prepared. I want you to be prepared. I want you to be successful because, I can't do that for you. You know what I mean? Like, looking out for us to an extent, it's just, it's unique. You know what I mean? And, most people wouldn't be able to handle it that way. Most people, but I think the only people that can handle it are me, you, and Nikki.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, like, he would say that if he were to listen to what I just said, he'd be like, what are you doing? Like, I never wanted it to be like, but that's not really his fault. That's just kind of the way that I interpreted it.
Right.
But I know that he is like he talks about us all the time. I know. Like he doesn't want to talk about what he's going to be doing. Like soon. He don't want to talk about his golf game. He don't want to talk about, you know, the 93, 94 Cowboys. He wants to talk about what we're doing, how proud he is of us. So I obviously know that, mm-hmm. but it's just, I don't know, I guess the way that some son would like, you know, how he would take that with any father.
Anyone, I think anyone in that position would say the exact same thing that you did. But I think most people would go insane and go crazy and probably like want nothing to do with it. But you are like, like a champ. However, I love that you brought this up because I think this is a great way to kind of segue into just the whole point of like what I do with GFIT and why I have this podcast, Live Limitless, right? Like there's certain limitations in our lives that are holding us back from being who God wants us to be, who we're meant to be. And that's a perfect example of like this limitation of like, I'm so fearful of failing because I want to make dad happy, or I want to make so-and-so happy. And that fear is so paralyzing to a lot of people that it keeps them from like ever chasing dreams or ever trying something out of their comfort zone because they don't want to fail and disappoint. And so it sounds like for you, that was a limitation. Like it was a limitation that maybe
you bet.
held you back from like really going full force of chasing your dreams. But that's something you've kind of overcome. So tell us a little bit about that and like how you've been able to overcome it.
So it's still a work in progress, yeah. But at least I have that discipline to have, you know, to introspect and realize, okay, I cannot do this because it's going to make him happy. Yeah. That is just a completely unhealthy way to look at things, whether it be baseball, football, like coaching. And I have an example of that because of a huge slump that I went through in high school. And I know it was, you know, it wasn't because my swing was messed up. It was because I needed to do everything because of him. Mm. And, you know, after having go through that, after, you know, going through a couple of years of college baseball, and, you know, I kind of became a nut with, you know, working because of him and all that. And I just, it kind of clicked one day. I don't know when, I don't know where, like it kind of clicked. And I just like, all right, I need to do this because of me. Mm. I can't do this because of him. I'm going to go nuts. I'm already nuts with this right now. I need to, you know, I need to change the way that I go about things. And I think that's just a constant thing that I'm telling myself every day, because the natural tendency for me right now is, you know, if I do this, if I make this cut up perfect, if I do this really well for this coach, it's going to make dad happy. But then I'll catch myself because, you know, it's starting to become a routine of catching myself saying, you know what? No, this is going to be good because it's going to be good for Nate. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good for me. Like when I, you know, for networking, for if he were to recommend me to another coach, if I were to try to go get hired somewhere else, like I'm going to have this guy have my back because I'm doing everything I can for him. And I'm impressing, you know, I'm showing off what I can do. I'm showing off my knowledge, my work ethic. Mm-hmm. And it makes you like liberated almost, like in a way to where it's a more enjoyable performance. It's a more enjoyable work because of the perspective that I have with it. Mm-hmm. And it's, like I said, it's not perfect. It's a work in progress, but I can already feel myself in the few months that I've been a coach. Like, obviously, like I just told you, some of them didn't even know that I was Urban Meyer's son. Yeah. And that's perfect.
Right, that's cool.
Like that's, and I'm doing that for myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that because of him. Mm-hmm. I know that he's proud of me. I know that. And I know that like what I'm doing is going to be an audience of one, right? Like we've all heard that it's an audience of one, and that's God. Mm-hmm. Like I'm doing this to maximize what he's been given me. Mm-hmm. And what better way to do that, to praise him, to you know, maximize the potential that he has given for me.
Right.
Instead of worried about, you know, what is dad going to think about this? Like how can I best represent what God has given me? And I think that is like a much better way to look at it instead of what I've done in previous years.
Right. And it almost like, you know, and this is kind of going on a tangent, but don't know about you, but whenever I feel like I'm doing something for someone else, like you almost develop like a bit of resentment for that. Like, it's like, oh, now I got to go do that. You know, I'm doing this for everybody else, you know, but it,
yeah.
But when you realize like and humble yourself and you realize that what you've been given isn't yours, like they're gifts, they're blessings from God, and they're not yours. It's been given to you for a purpose, so you can glorify like your creator. That's
a perfect way to look at it.
Yeah. And that's where it's like, you feel that empowerment, you feel that liberating, like, oh, like this is,
and in a way it, like if we wanted to keep this in a more selfish aspect too, it kind of helps you out because it makes you feel so much better anyway.
Right.
If you know, like, hey, I'm doing this because like God has given me these gifts. And like, I know that's a bad way to look at it, but for anyone that's, you know, like, why would I do that because of other people? I mean, it's going to help you out too. You're developing yourself as much as you're bringing out, you know, the greatness in other people, whether you're helping them out and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the whole defining, you know, the whole definition of like limitless. It's like, it's kind of like freeing you from this like pressure that you've kind of been putting on yourself that isn't helping you and it's unnecessary, and releasing you to really have this perspective that like allows you to be free in a sense to like pursue,
and it's
like what it is that you're meant to do.
And it's a more real and raw performance with mm-hmm. whatever you're doing too. Like it's all coming, like it's all true within yourself. You're not doing it because of a really bad perspective. You're doing it because of you're being led by a really, really great perspective on things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, under the audience of one, instead of the audience of what other people are going to think about me, that makes it just more real to me.
Yeah. Actually, like when you focus on you, and you get yourself right, you get your perspective right, and you, you know, you keep your intentions almost like internal for a bit, like that's gonna actually elude into like other parts of your life, in your relationships. Like people are just naturally gonna see that you've got something figured out, right? Like you have, you know, you're excelling in your craft because you have that perspective now of why you're doing it and what you're doing it for. And even though you're not like telling everyone about it and you're not like, you know, showing everyone like, look how great I am. People are naturally going to see that you are excelling in your own way. You know what I mean?
That kind of reminds me of, you know, we had this conversation a few nights ago when Callie brought up one of her favorite quotes, and it's spread the good news. And if necessary, use words.
Mm.
So like what you're living out, you know, what
volume,
you know, what God is calling us to do, and people are going to see that, you know, like you just said, they're going to see that, you know, this guy has something figured out, like he's, you know, he's got all this stuff going for him or her. And, you know, when Callie kind of brought that into words, because it just made so much sense, and it's kind of a good way to, I don't know, just kind of have a little soundbite so you can remember it that way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Good stuff. Oh, I actually had a really cool thought, but it just slipped my mind.
Shoot. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's good. Such good stuff. And yeah, that was actually a great conversation. Like who talks about that kind of stuff at like a really nice dinner? We talked about like the greatest lessons we've ever, you know, had, the best advice we've ever had. We talked about faith and God, and it was just like
for like 2 hours because they wouldn't bring us a freaking food.
So what else do we talk about?
What do we talk about?
Deep stuff. Why we're drinking a really nice glass of wine. But obviously, yeah, good stuff. I mean, I think that's really great. And for you to talk about that stuff already at such a young age, like very I definitely didn't know any of the stuff that you're telling me at 23 years old. I have no idea what I was doing. But obviously we can't get off this podcast without talking about your beautiful fiance, Miss Callie. We're kind of
one
a little bit. What
you mean the one?
The one. When we're talking
you
about
guys call us the one. Fiancés now.
I know.
Here come the fiancés.
but yeah, Callie, you and Callie, you guys have been dating just as long as Brian and I have been together.
We have been dating for 8 years and we have been engaged for 2 months.
Wow. Oh my gosh. It's so exciting.
It's been awesome.
I just texted our guest list over because she's going to want to see like who, because we had such a good guest list. She was like, we need to get the right people. Your wedding is going to be so much fun.
It's going to be crazy. Oh, I'm so excited for it. But it's going to be a dream.
What's your favorite thing about her?
I would say like there's obviously so many things that I love about Callie, but the one thing that keeps, you know, striking me like each and every day is how much that she loves and she cares for other people. Mm. Like for people in her group, you know. Mm. And in a society today where there's so much selfishness and so much, you know, worrying about yourself, woe is me, like why can't I do this? You know, why won't they pay attention to me? Why won't this and this and this, whatever. But there's no one that I've seen more consistently put others ahead of themselves so much like Callie does. And people have like this natural tendency to overthink, right? And I feel like that everyone has like some of those periods when they do that. But Callie does have like this slight little tendency to overthink some things, but that can be a good thing and a bad thing, right? One way that people do that is they'll you misuse that, right? So they're like displace this weird anger on people. They'll be, you know, they're act radical about something, have this weird behavior because they tend to overthink and they'll start to blame other people for it.
Right.
But Callie uses this in such an amazing way to where she has, because of this natural tendency to overthink, she has this so much love for her people mm-hmm. that like it's something that they'll never experience that from anyone else. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like whether that be her family, whether that be me, whether that be her friends, like I know that that's like a saying that someone said, like there's no one that's going to love you like someone, you know, that tends to a little bit overthink. But even if Callie doesn't overthink, you know, like even when she doesn't, yeah. She just has so much love like for these people. And it's the coolest thing, like to come out of someone. I just know that I'm the luckiest human alive because I know that no girl is ever going to love me like Callie does. And it's just really, really cool to think about.
That is so true. No one's going to love Callie. Like no one's going to love me like Callie loves me. Just kidding. But for real though, like she's already been a part of the family. Like she's like a sister. It's insane.
Someone so like beautiful, Christ-filled, like all the boxes checked.
Yeah.
But then also like so much love for her people and for, you know, this, you know, all these like little traditions that they do and like just this down to earth human being. It's awesome. It's really, really cool.
And for our family being so family centered, like their family is extremely family centered. Remember when you guys were in town recently and like I was leaving and then Mr. Cloran was like, all right, everyone give Gigi a hug. Goodbye. And like, not just one, two Clorans, all of them, like all what?
All of them.
Got up.
All six of them.
Gave me a big old group hug. I think it was only you like out of the Meyer family that gave me a hug. Yeah. Oh, and mom.
I was going to say all seven all eight because me and mom joined in.
Yeah, you and mom. And then dad and Nikki were like, what is this? It's making me feel uncomfortable, but we're all just like group hugged in the middle. Like they're amazing people. I mean, good job.
That's cool. I think what's cool about our families is, you know, it's something that can be taken for granted, but it's something that, you know, also nowadays might be kind of rare, is just such a really close and tight knit family. And both families are like that. So then now it's just one gigantic merge of extremely loyal and like wonderful people that will die for each other. It's the coolest thing.
Like people, like best friends, like the Myers and Clorans are literally best friends.
Best. We had Thanksgiving together.
Man, so amazing. All right. Well, you do have to share a quick, embarrassing story of Callie. Cause she is like, she has her moments. Like she has her moments.
Like the Meyer family has the boob club. I think Callie has her own boob.
She has four.
She has.
I'll ask her if we can say that, but yeah, right. She has her own boob. But yeah, tell us a story of something that's embarrassing for her.
Yeah. Callie, you know, you guys make fun of her all the time, but she, you know, she gives it right back.
Yeah,
with love. Like, we all, yeah, that's how the Meyer family honestly does it anyways. We make fun of each other. But Callie does have some of the funniest, like, little things that she does. Like, one thing that we did, this is a few years ago. Me and the Clorins went bowling, and there were only a few lanes open, so we had this lane that was right on the edge, right? And then, you know, there's this little walkway that goes down to the service door that goes and maintenance the, you know, the machines and everything. So we're all bowling and stuff, and then it's Callie's turn, and she gets up, and, you know, she's, like, trying to bowl, you know, trying to bowl strike or whatever, and she, like, throws it as hard as she can, and it goes down the other lane, but it's not a lane to bowl in, it's the lane that goes down to the service store. So you just hear this wham. I didn't even see her do it, but I just heard the noise, and it was like a gunshot. And she turned, we like, I turn around, and like, I just hear like and we just a bowling ball sitting down at the, like, at this alley towards the service store. I have to show you that video too, because I take a video, and like, she's, her face is all red. She's like, wait, no one saw that, right? We're like, everyone saw it. And so if they didn't, they heard it.
She did it on, it was an accident. Like, she meant to try and bowl in the bowling.
Complete accident. She wouldn't do that on purpose.
Oh.
She completely
just missed that lane.
Some people get in the gutter. Some people, if they have bumpers, they'll hit the bumpers and then they'll miss. She missed the entire lane. And it went down and hit the service door. It was hilarious.
Safe to say, Callie will not be a professional bowler in this lifetime. So
I think that was crossed off her list a long time ago.
That is hilarious. I wanted to ask you what it was like growing up with two older sisters like me and Nikki. Which is so why it was so perfect nowadays, because we raised you well.
Of course. Right. I mean, the way that I look at it. So when I was a lot younger, Nikki would kind of be like the second mom. Yeah. Right. Cause she was, how much older is she than me? I don't even know. So she was always that much older than me. So she would be like kind of a second mom. Mm-hmm. And not like the second mom that demands stuff. And it was like, you know,
nurturing.
Yeah. Just nurturing. And you were kind of like the really good friend, but also we fought a little bit, like bickered a little bit.
We annoyed each other.
Right. So you're kind of like the true sibling, whereas Nikki was more like the nurturing second mom. Mm-hmm. And like, as we got older, you guys were gone being adults and I was still in high school. So I was kind of like an only child. But then I feel like during that time is when we really grew really, really close. Mm-hmm. All three of us, because we have, you know, we had our own separate group chat that we would text during games. Mm-hmm. And say things that we probably shouldn't say on here.
Yeah, that no one will ever see.
That'll be classified.
That's classified.
And then, and you know, we would call each other all the time, and we would always want to hang out like so much whenever y'all were in town, or when I was, you know, when we were going to be in the same area or something. I feel like that was when we really like grew very close, where it used to be bickering slash like long gap of siblings. Now it's, you know, we're all pretty much grown. So now that's where we like actually grew really close.
Yeah. I remember when you and I started, I think it was like when I went off to college, you and I started writing like notes, like we wrote a couple notes to each other, and it was like really cool. Like just
if I would
sibling notes.
I have a whole safe full.
Aww.
I'm not kidding. I have a safe full of notes from Callie, from Mom, and you, and Nikki. Literally, yeah, I kept them all.
Nikki used to write me notes.
Nikki definitely did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kept them all, every single one of them.
I think, honestly, I think I kept something. I kept most things, but who knows? I've moved so much. But yeah, I mean, now you and I are like, who knows what goes on in our head? Like we have some sort of like telepathic weirdness that we're that can understand each other and our weirdness, and no one else can ever know, like, or understand. Maybe Callie does a
and
little,
I'm, And I'm totally okay with that.
I know. Anyone's around us and we do our weird thing, it's like, yeah,
that's fine.
But
and then Nikki too, when we do like little inside jokes where we start to like,
yes,
that's the first thing Nikki does when she sees me. She just goes, oh, starts singing.
Maybe one day we'll share our inside jokes.
Maybe when the time is right.
Man, such good stuff. Well, I feel like you and I could talk about, you know, whatever for another 2 hours.
We could bore these people out.
I know. So
especially if Nikki was on here too, then we would. This would be like a Joe Rogan podcast. We'd talk for like 4 hours.
Ooh,
maybe. We should do that, shouldn't we? We've been meaning to do it when you guys had the Team Meyer.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll make it happen because I think that would be epic, freaking epic. But Nathan, thank you so much. You're the best bro ever. You're my bro. I just freaking love you, and I don't have the words to explain it. So thank you for being my best friend.
I'm excited that we got to do this, Geej. I'm excited for you. I've been obviously following what you've been doing and everything. And I'm just happy to finally get a little taste of it with your podcast. I even still get your emails. I need to start responding to some of your mass emails. I'll start doing that to make sure you read them.
Yes.
I'll make some random ignorant comment. Like
my story polls or whatever. My story with the funniest stuff, and I die laughing. I love it. Like, you are very witty. Like, you're very creative and witty, and like in the most random times, and it just like comes out of nowhere.
Bring it out.
That's hilarious. But
you guys bring it out of me.
Good. All right, Nate, love you so much. Thank you so much for doing this, and
love you, Geez.
Fine, like, we're gonna have you on again. So
yes, I need to. It'd be great.
Love you. Thank you all so much for listening to the Live Limitless podcast. If you enjoyed this episode today, do us a favor and share with someone you think will benefit from it. And if you just want to show general support, you can do that by leaving us a 5-star rating. If you believe it deserves it, or you can leave us a review or any type of feedback in Apple Podcasts. We want to hear from you. Also, make sure to check out the show notes for more information or to just see how you can keep up with me on social media. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Go crush the week and live limitless.